Oh, no. Oh, wait. Missing Green literally is translated Jason East der Best.
What?
Jason is the best.
What? We need to save this.
You gotta send the link though.
Okay. Oh my god.
Hasbro talking about Power Rangers as an emerging brand. Legacy Wars.
You're right there, buddy.
Oh, Itsy Bitsy Spider is.
Oh, could you save it?
Why is he called Zacky?
Save it for the show. What is wrong with you? Why is this hard? Why?
Yeah, save it for the show, man.
Crap.
That's the cardinal rule. Is save it for the show.
Jeez.
Oh, God, this is killing me.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill you in 2 seconds. Now? Yo. Okay, I was gonna run down what we were gonna talk about in the news was, and then.
Well, yes, but I'm just saying, if you're recording now, then you can just insert some of that.
Yeah, I'm gonna insert this at the end. I'm about to kill this fool.
Right, this is the final.
Crap. Done. And then there were three. I'm done. Anyway, Hello everyone, Lisa J here, and we're back with another episode of No Pink Spandex. We are missing one of our members, you know, I guess, in the Battle Royale.
I was going to say, that means Seamus won. He has
Look,
burned his spot.
Look, I'm just saying, two people visited each other, one came out.
Oh boy.
We always knew you were... I'm very confused.
Oh, I get it.
Wow. Okay, that's
a joke.
Jokes.
Yep, it sure is.
Speaking of jokes,
no. If this is somehow your first episode, I'm a pansexual man, so gotta explain the joke. Otherwise, people are gonna be like, "Wait, what? Which one? Which one's gay? What?"
Clearly, Spy. Let's be real. Okay. He's fabulous.
Oh gosh. So let's get to the news of the day or the week or however long we've last recorded. So I think there was one thing that I forgot to mention the last time we recorded, and I was like, dope! And it had to do with Hasbro. They're having some layoffs, you guys. So let's see. I'm just going to read a little bit. Several outlets, and this is resetera.com, you know, from the ashes they will rise. So several outlets, including the Providence Journal and WPRI, are reporting that Hasbro may be in tough position. According to a press release, there are going to be some quote unquote meaningful organizational changes, some of which are said to be difficult and may have an effect on a single digit percentage of Hasbro's 5,000 employees. So let's see here. So I don't know, maybe as soon as Power Rangers moves on, it's like the curse. It just seems as if. But the company itself has had some, I wouldn't say challenges, but in terms of with some of the brands that they have. I mean, Transformers has been a little on the decline, a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one I've been hearing the most of, is that Transformers has been like under expectations on a lot of different levels, and that's why they're trying to do like an extra kitty line in addition to their regular line, and that's partially why they're rebooting the entire movie franchise, because everything just feels old and antiquated and nobody really wants what they're offering. They haven't really produced a good series in a long time. They did that 3-part series online, which was hot trash on every conceivable level.
Is that the one with JDF in it?
Yes. It was. It was the one with JDF and Samoa Joe and random people, and the fans voted in Optimus Primal, and they refused to get the voice actor. And it was just like, okay. And there wasn't really much story to speak of in the whole thing. So I that's the thing, is if you don't have any like actual show out there to go along with your toy line that people care about, nobody's buying it. I mean, they're even like right now they're re-releasing some of the 84 toys just to try to get people to buy stuff.
Yeah.
So they're going the old Saban way of just MMPR all day, every day. So original thing all day.
Yeah. Yeah. You can walk into Walmart and buy like the original Starscream and the original Constructicons, but it's like to buy, it's like Starscream like today is like $40, that small plane. So it's hefty. It's a hefty price tag.
I mean, it also probably doesn't help Hasbro that they just handed over $500 million. To Saban.
True.
Have these in stock and have these in.
Yeah. Well, I just imagine that they also went over to Saban HQ and just handed Saban like a giant, you know, sack of money with a dollar sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want people to. Here's the thing. It could be that they are just going to skin the fat as they may, because. And they just hired some folks. Some folks just got hired. And then so maybe certain things might overlap, certain things might be redundant. But. Yeah, I mean they could be laying off up to like 500 people. So
mm-hmm. You know.
That's a lot. So we'll have to. It is a wait and see, you guys, because all we heard was they might be doing a thing, and we don't know how bad the thing's going to be, but they might be doing a thing. So
if they are
going to be laying off that many people, they have to file, and it has to be transparent that they're doing so, and they have at the time of this article they have not done that yet. So.
Well, like I said, you can sell toys as long as you have a good show. So as long as Power Rangers is... Oh.
Wait. Hmm. Where goes that? I was gonna joke that maybe some of the layoffs should include some of the...
Oh!
Yeah.
Some
people that are allowed pens and papers and to write scripts and things like that.
Some people that are allowed to write things like, hey, respect law enforcement, kids.
No matter what.
I mean, you should respect law enforcement. However, there's context. So there
yes,
you go.
But big context. It was law enforcement has it really tough. Why don't, you know, you got to think about them before yourself.
Gross.
We're not talking about Ninja Steel. We're not doing it. Oh, and if you're new to the show, if you are, we're not talking about Ninja Steel right now. We're going to wait till the show ends, and then we'll do a catch-all situation. Because...
A diarrhea, if you will.
Couldn't...
Just a purge. Really.
Couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, you know? And every episode, these guys... I mean, two of us... have watched it every week. Two of us have not. So.
One of us is paid to watch it.
Yeah. One of us is just a masochist.
Couldn't be paid to watch it. No.
Hey, we could actually do an episode talking about the Halloween special. We could actually do that.
Could we?
We could, but I mean, it wouldn't be saying, you know, it's more interesting than it is good or anything along those lines.
Jeremy is forever obsessed with the theme shows.
Yes.
And the seasonal.
Yes.
They are a delight.
We'll get to the seasonal holiday episodes. We'll do that. But right now, I can't. My Saturday mornings have been wonderful. I didn't have to think about Ninja Steel. It was getting great. So.
That is wonderful.
Just saying. But yeah, so speaking of brands that need help, child. Also in Hasbro Land, from comicbook.com, there was a... I think there was a... let's see here. Yeah, there. I don't know what kind of call this is. Is this a financial call? Whatever call.
Third quarter earnings call.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody does.
And basically, they classified Power Rangers as an emerging brand.
They hope that it'll eventually become a franchise brand in the future.
Right. Well, maybe under them,
it's emerging to them. Not overall.
Like, this is a brand new thing.
Because overall, it's been stuck in the mud for about a decade.
Well, guys, it's alongside such amazing brands as Lost Kitties, Lockstars, and Yellies.
Yellies? They're my favorite! Thanks.
I just have to, like, the shade, though. The shade of this. I can't, like, they're like, listen, Power Rangers, it's cute and all, it's cute, but you know, we'll make it the top tier of emerging. You're the top tier emerging.
They could have come up with a better word if it was, like, firing on all cylinders and they were just taking the ball and running with it.
A quote from...
Lie.
From Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner. There's a lot of, you know, legal speak or whatever in here, but he's basically like, we feel like putting Power Rangers in all caps in the emerging brand category is a good place to start.
Yeah, but you're right. It's certainly, in our estimation, is a franchise brand in the making.
I like, we're obviously a little biased. I feel like it is a franchise, but I mean, to be fair, comparing to their bigger ones like Transformers, yeah, Power Rangers isn't quite there.
And are they the master toy licensee for Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, we can snark right all day about. Yeah. Them talking about it this way, I think really what they mean is, like, they want to make it a little bit more of a significant thing on the grand stage of, like, big brands,
right?
Well known, you know. Whereas right now, maybe not. So.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, if you look in a toy aisle and you look at any franchise that has been around for a significant amount of time, you know, I'd say a good 5-10 years, whatever. Power Rangers has one of the smallest amount of shelf spaces there is in any store. Like, it is like one or two just little rows, top and bottom, sometimes not even the bottom as well, where it's just so small. And it's unbelievable that this is a franchise that has been around for 25 years and it can barely get any room. Well, you see, you know, Transformers has twice or three times as much space, you know, stuff like that. Like, Power Rangers is just friggin' tiny right now, so emerging seems about right, especially where it matters, which is selling the toys.
And the thing is that, you know, if they were just to say Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, well then, like, with that, like, when the Legacy line was first coming out, like, you would see, like, rows and things, like, you know, like the morphers and this and that and the third. And you would just, like, heck, they would even put some of that stuff in the front of the store. What?
Mm-hmm.
The front. So now you're still Legacy-ish, but then you're relying on Ninja Steel?
Yeah.
No, well, that's real. That's not even emerging. That's submerging. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
It's descending.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is even with Toys R Us going belly up, like, none of these stores outside of maybe GameStop added more Power Rangers stuff. Like, there was nowhere to put it. There was no clamoring for it. No, like, oh, we can't get it at Toys R Us, so we got to start stocking more over here so people can still get them. No, there was no demand. There was none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So.
I guess. This language places Power Rangers in the category of being something that's, like, newly beginning. It's a new beginning for the franchise, which gives me even more questions about what's coming next, meaning Beast Morphers. Is that going to reflect that, you know, beyond just, hey, cool suits, you know?
Yeah, because they always talk about, they're like, yeah, it's the first time with leather suits. I'm like, it's not that exciting, guys. Yeah. Chill out.
Visuals, yeah, it's different, but it's like the show.
Yeah, you say new and exciting and emerging, and I say life support. So I feel like that's accurate.
Well, for them, yeah. I mean, for Saban, it was their biggest thing, obviously. Like, what, you think they were really caring that much about Julius Jr.? I think not. And but for, or what was it, Glitter Force or Popples or whatever the other garbage they had. Like, not but really. For Hasbro, for them, it's like, oh, yeah, Power Rangers is big, but, you know, we have Mr. Potato Head. So what you got, Power Rangers?
Yeah, we've got Marvel. They have Marvel, too, right?
Do they do the Marvel
toys?
Do they? I didn't think they did.
They did.
I have a Marvel toy in box. Because
when I went to the whatever that was in San Diego? No, or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. No. You're right. Because in our goodie bags, they gave us Marvel toys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my God.
They do.
So we're real merging, y'all. Just
way.
Yeah, we're nothing. Okay, you're right, Hasbro. I take it all back.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, dragging itself out of the grave. Like,
mm-hmm. The shambling corpse of Power Rangers. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I still love that idea that we came up with, like, right when they bought it, that it, like, Hasbro just wants to bury it.
No! No. Mm-hmm. It's not Disney.
Well, $500 million. Buy it and then just get rid of it. Like,
they've got all the right people in charge to make sure it's buried, so.
Let's be nice.
Competition.
Or be accurate.
Here's
more Optimus. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
It's going to be interesting to see if things change now. We might be able to go, maybe it was someone else's decision who's no longer there that had something to do with all this.
It's nice to want things and hope.
Yeah, I'm not saying that is the case. I'm saying it could be.
All right. So let's moving right along.
Keep that dream alive, guys. Keep that dream alive.
Moving right along.
So much positivity.
Power Rangers Legacy Wars. Legacy Wars. Hey, guys, make sure you log on, okay, from October 26th to October 29th for your final chance to unlock Street Fighter characters. Note, Street Fighter characters will no longer be available after October 31st. Only players who have been unlocked these characters will be able to continue earning shards through morph boxes.
So will they, like, disappear from the game entirely, or you just not add them to your game?
Yeah, you can't add them. If you already have them, you keep them. If you don't have them, you can't get them anymore.
Okay.
And I love how it's like, oh, log on to get it. And then you go to the offer store and it says, hey, you have a chance to unlock Akuma. It costs $7.99. You have a chance to unlock M. Bison. It costs $9.99. You have a chance to unlock Ryu. It costs $8.99. You have a chance to unlock Cammy. It costs $2.99. You have a chance to unlock Chun-Li. It costs $2.99. Like, awesome. Great, guys. Sweet. You really want money. And I also love how this is happening, like, weeks, just a couple of weeks after our big Street Fighter Power Rangers movie finally hit. Yeah!
See, this is more, I think I'm right. Like, I think they wanted to release that short
months ago,
like, at San Diego Comic-Con. And for some reason, they weren't ready or something wasn't, whatever. So then they had to push it back. Because there's no way that they had, like, a big old party and a big old, like, to-do for a trailer and for a short that was going to come, like, months later, and the short was, like, 2 seconds long. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And like we said last time, they've already moved on to the next thing. The next thing is Shadow and Titanium and Samurai, you know, Gold, all that stuff. That's the next thing. They've shelved this, basically, and they were just waiting for the license to run out, and they're on to their next big deal. Like, this is just, it's so late that it's like, okay, all right, cool, whatever. So.
And it's unfortunate, because, like, seeing the short at the time when it was, like, a big hoopla would have been kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. It would have been all up in the hype.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's unfortunate.
But hey, if you go on to Legacy Wars right now, and you fight with any of the MMPR Rangers and you use their taunt, they get pumpkins on their head like pumpkin wrapper.
Okay, that's great.
Hey, you can pumpkin wrapper it up.
Oh, wow.
Good times.
Wow. I can't with y'all. Okay. So finally, in the new segment, okay? Before we get to our review of Jetman, yes, guys.
Jetto.
That's happening. You're like, what are we, if you're not talking about Ninja Steel, then what are you going to talk about?
Yeah. A good show.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Spoiler alert, a good show. Yes. So before we get to that, we have one final news item. And
party
literally
like 2007,
hot off the presses. This is from Ranger Board. Power Fanatic posted this. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Steelbook seasons 1 through season 3 is going to be re-released in Germany on December 7th, 2018. Let's see. So, yeah, this time, SD on Blu-ray.
So for those in the audience that don't know what SD on Blu-ray is, Blu-ray is able to hold a lot more information than a DVD. So they're not upgrading the quality or anything. It's not going to be Blu-ray, you know, 1080p, 4K. Nope. It's just they put 30 episodes per disc. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it costs a lot of money to... remaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh god, yeah.
It costs a lot of money. So, if you're looking for remastered situations, that's not happening. It's not happening. Okay? Yeah.
This is basically like buying the slim case version of a show you already bought individual seasons of ages ago. It's not really doing anything for you besides taking up less shelf space.
So, and then, you know, there were two links, one to a Blu-ray site that has the wonderful cover art. I mean, it's cool. I remember I bought the first DVDs, the German DVDs, you know, before DVDs were a thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was cool and I liked it and it was great. I got my $5 autographs. So it was great.
The glory days of 2007, yes.
Yeah, so that's fine. And then there's the Amazon link here.
Oh, joyful Amazon link.
So where I'm looking for, like, is it going to be like extra like footage or what have you? Hasn't listed that. No, but they sure list. What happened?
It is the very bottom is the bonus features.
Oh, really?
And I feel like it speaks to me that the bonus feature that features the fans in German is called Die Fans.
You're an idiot.
Spelled D-I-E.
Yes. Die Fans.
It just means the fans.
It just means the, like it just, yeah.
Not to me, it doesn't mean that.
Okay, so bonus features. My bad. So let me see. Morphin Time. What is that? Let me see. I don't know that. I can't do the German. Let's translate this page because nobody got time.
The Mighty Morphin Rangers with something and the
it looks
crew.
Like all of the bonus features that were on the American set.
Yeah, it is. Because it's got the good, the bad, the ugly with, you know, that special feature. It's got the live tour. You know, all the stuff that's on that first one. Yeah.
So. I see. Okay, so, you know, special features are right. You know, some that we've already seen. And they've listed all of the episodes.
Oh, boy.
That's in English and in German.
Yeah. I was very interested when I looked at these names because... very few of them read like their direct translations of the English name. I
like,
kind of
for example, like yeah. Big Sisters is Zordon Schlecht Alarm.
I was about to say that when I started going dub, and I was like, that's an interesting one, how they fit Zordon in there. Or like I scroll down to the end and Master Vile in the Metallic Armor is Der First Der Finster Nice Tale.
What? Like,
why is Finster in the title? I'm like, okay, that's an interesting one. And another very interesting, there's a theme that runs about these, which is when an episode in English doesn't have the name Tommy in it, it has the name Tommy in it in German. It's like, we just need more Tommy, right? We got to get Tommy in there. And you've got, you know, you've got Green No More, which is Tommy's Alptrum.
Okay.
All right.
Of course, you know.
No, wait, which one is the, one is?
Right below that, right below Green No More is my personal favorite. It's Missing Green, you know, because Tommy's not here and we're reminiscing about Tommy and all that stuff. So clearly the German title of Missing Green is Jason is der Best.
Because he's the best.
Oh my god.
That's messed up. That's messed up.
No, that's amazing.
That is the greatest thing of all time. Or the other one you might have been talking about was Football Season. You know, Football Season. The one where Tommy, you know, karate kicks a tackling dummy. Because that's
what you
do. Yep. That is called Punkt Gwyn for Tommy.
I'm just going to choose to believe that translates to Tommy gets punked.
Yes. Wait a minute. Which one is that? The Football Season?
Football Season.
Okay. So, I'm currently using Google Translate.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know. Okay. So, Football Season, right? And whatever that German thing is, right? It translates to point win for Tommy.
Yes, go Tommy, win the point.
What does Missing Green's German title translate to? What does your best mean? Come on.
Let's see.
Tommy
Missing Green. I mean, I that's pretty easy.
Pretty on the nose, huh?
Pretty on the nose, because pretty means Jason is the best. Like, oh, that's kind of easy.
Can you take a crack at pronouncing the German title for oyster stew?
Oh, I saw that one. So, oyster stew is... wow. Longest word of all time? Das Gerbstagschneck.
Geburtstagschneck. What?
Das Geburtstagschneck. Okay. So, you know what that is translated into?
Mm-hmm.
The birthday present.
What? Wow. Wow. Okay, then. Okay.
Okay. All right. You know what? The teamwork. Guess what team, the German teamwork means?
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses? You know. Throw it out there.
Ooh, I don't know, man.
Boy, that...
So, last call. Togetherness makes you strong.
Oh,
okay.
So, something like that, I'm like, okay, I can see where y'all German stuff, you know, all right, made it not nice and flowery or whatever, but homegirl, like I don't get some of these titles. I don't get it.
Togetherness makes us strong sounds like Tanya's second single.
Yes.
Togetherness makes us strong.
Together we are strong.
Yes.
Together we are what?
Do you guys remember For Whom the Bell Trolls was about? Do you remember what that episode was about?
Was that Tickle Sneezer?
No, that wasn't.
Was that the one where like the deaf girl? Was that that one?
There was one because like the monster had like a little
Yeah, I think For Whom the Bell Trolls was with the gnarly gnome. Wait, no, wait, that's a gnome. That's not a troll. Is it? Is the one where he had the accordion and there was the
accordion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In a dream, Rita Repulsa casts a spell bringing Trini's doll, Mr. Tickle Sneezer, to life. She then orders him to capture the Rangers for her. He manages to trap Trini and Billy, and yada, yada.
Oh, that's right. He's got the bottle and he captures them in the rad bug.
Yes. Yeah. Give it all got back, it. Tickle Sneezer. Give it all back.
So why do you ask, Lisa? Why do you ask?
No, nah, because I was just like, why are they talking about this dangerous toy? I'm like, ah, that's why.
Well, yes. Speaking of Trini, the plague of the mantis is Trini in knot. Okay, Trini in knot. Sure. Yep. Or Calamity Kim is Gluck, I'm ungluck.
Wait, hold up. Wait. Calamity. All right. What does that mean? Because ain't nobody.
Gluck, I'm ungluck.
Blessing in disguise.
Oh,
okay. All
right. I mean, I would expect a lot of these things to be changed because, you know, it makes it like a reference to football, right? Like,
true.
Or like American references, or they're like obvious, like some of like the early titles were like references to like movies or like other famous things. So
yeah, and lots of puns and plays on words that would just make no sense.
Don't translate.
But okay, but yeah. Here's the thing. Right under that, A Star Is Born, I'm thinking, all right, that's pretty self-explanatory. So German is Tommy kommt. I'm not even gonna say it. But the English translation is Tommy comes out big. Like, whoa, what's the...
whoa. Like, does he now? I guess there's two people coming out tonight. All right.
All right.
Wow.
Comes out big. not small. Okay. Coming out big.
So this is just weird because there's the potion notion and the translation title is literally just Chaos in Angel Grove.
Well, that's just generic.
That's it.
That's every episode, dare
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, for real.
It's called Chaos in Angel Grove. Okay, cool. Sure. All right. That's elaborate.
I mean, we can also consider that some of these when spoken in German would also be taken as plays on words or puns.
Yeah.
True.
And we would have no idea.
True. So yeah. Like our trick or treat there in the English is easy come, easy go. But that has to be like their version of whatever. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like us, it was like, okay, that makes no sense. Just like how like they would look at us like, what are y'all talking about? Like one hand in the bush, two hand in the like. What are you talking about? You know, like. Yeah,
that's true.
So
and some they just can't really do anything with because like Wild West Rangers is Die Power Rangers. I'm Wild in Weston.
I'm Wild in Weston.
Wilding out. Yeah.
I'm gonna use that. Next time.
Yeah. You're Wild and Weston.
I'm Wild and Weston, bro. Like, what's up?
We do that when we do our Ninja Steel wrap up because we'll talk about how great Levi is. So we'll say he's Wild and Weston.
He's Wild and Weston.
Oh. That's his cousin. Levi Weston's cousin, Wild and Weston.
Wild and Weston from Germany. Oh, it really is global.
My German cousin, Wild and.
That genuinely sounds like an episode of Power Rangers, like MMPR specifically, where it's like, it's my German cousin.
Yeah, it's our new Lost and Found in translation. Oh, German PR, gosh. Let's go.
He has to be dressed like really stereotypically.
Oh my god. With like lederhosen and crap.
Yes, exactly.
This is the part on Power Rangers where we dance.
It's like, what are you doing? So wrong.
And it's like, and it's still, and it's just played by whoever plays Levi. They just do like the little split screen thing.
Yeah, of course.
Amazing.
Of course.
Oh boy.
All right. So, are any of us gonna be picking this up?
No.
I mean,
it's a steelbook, you guys.
Didn't they just do a steelbook for MSP?
Just got one.
Shout?
Didn't pick that up.
But it wasn't SD on Blu-ray. Yeah. Hello.
And that's the thing is, no matter how many times you say it, there are going to be people out there that think it's higher quality.
Oh, like they're. I mean, and look, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. I don't know. Where they're like, oh, this. If you look, the pixels are a little less fuzzy or whatever. I'm like, unless you are a complete video file, which again, not a bad thing. You're not going to notice. All right, you're just not.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, unless something was actually shot in HD, minor differences really don't have any difference. Like. It's just so bizarre. But
unless something is cut, you know what I mean? Like unless something is cut or something like that. And I know some people on Ranger Board were like, oh, I wonder if this will have the Hasbro logo at the end or whatever like that. I'm like, that's cool. Not worth spending however much money it is, especially to import it.
Right. Or, like, yeah, it was like Time Force with all the 9/11 changes they made or something like that. And they didn't have changes here. It's like, oh, okay, I got to get that. Got to grab it.
This what this is it's a vanity purchase. So, like, if you're just able to do so and you just feel like having that convenience of, like, a hard copy of something that, like, has 80 billion episodes in one disc, sure. Like, go right.
Or if you're a collector of DVDs and you've collected everything Mighty Morphin ever in life, you don't want to skip one.
Yeah, it's weird. But, like, I mean, I'm at the point where, like, I so rarely buy DVDs nowadays. Like, it has to be something that I am so in love with, you know, that or like, I'm supporting a release because I'm like, I want more stuff to come out from them. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's just no room for DVDs anymore.
I sort of missed that era, to be honest.
Yeah.
Be able to collect things and have them all displayed and nice. Now it's all digital and 50 billion new things coming out every 5 minutes.
I like having space on my shelves. Like, that's awesome.
Of course.
I mean, sure. Like, the physical, like, looking at the booklet. Like, I mean, sure.
Right. There was a certain, like, experience that went along with getting and just click a thing and then there it is, you know.
We're old, Tristan. We're getting old.
Absolutely.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that. Anywho, so
I saw, that reminds me quickly though, I saw somebody post on Facebook where it was like a kid saw a floppy disk.
Oh yeah.
And he assumed that somebody had 3D printed the save icon. That's the thing. Kids don't know what that icon is.
Right.
It's really,
right.
Wow.
I have heard stories
it's about iconography of stuff that had didn't exist that they would have any reference to when they were growing up. So we have all these. Remember? I mean, I don't remember, but like, yeah, I could talk to you guys. Remember with the iPhone and how when they changed some of their icons to stuff that isn't physically represented with the old timey version of said thing. So, you know, people up in arms are like, how dare you change that icon? But I'm like, people don't.
They don't know.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. I interrupted you.
What?
Sorry, go ahead. Anybody continue.
I
don't know my point.
I was going to say, I just remember, like, it's so weird because when I was a kid, you know, your parents tell you about stuff that happened in, say, the 60s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that was forever ago. That's crazy. You have all those memories. And now I'm like, there's stuff that happened when I was a kid that's a bigger age gap between now and then, you know, that there are young people you talk to and like they don't have that reference either. And you're like, wow, it really isn't that long to you when you're the older person, but it feels like it's, you know, decades and eons when you're the younger person. And God, it just ages you like crazy. Oh my God.
And also the way technology has evolved so rapidly in the past 20 years, especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the one we always heard when we were kids was, you have to know math because you're not going to have a calculator on you at all times.
No.
Yeah, we do. You're a
liar. For real. Oh my gosh. I mean, where I work, I work with students who are not in their 30s. So, you know, if I'm making references to things that to me just feel like 2 seconds ago, and they're good references, okay? Very good references. There's just like glazed over, and I'm like, wait. So do you not know the song that I'm referencing to at all? Like this like number one hit that was like on all like, and then and then here it is! I was gonna say radio! Yeah. And then I just stopped myself. Like, I did.
I think the one that gets me the most is like, okay, it's 2018. I'll make a reference to something that happened in 1998, and I'll be like, how do you not remember that? That was 10 years ago.
Nope.
Nope.
No, not quite.
No.
Forgot a decade there.
It's pre-2000. Yeah. It's way old. It's ancient.
Yeah, like I am referencing things before the person was born. And listen, there were things that were referenced before I was born too, right? But like, you know, I like pop culture, especially in music. Like that's the thing. So there are certain things that I just keep up with because that's what I like and that's what I'm interested in. And so it's just odd to me with like some of the things that has even like repeated in pop culture, and I'm looking at these children and I don't get my references.
Yeah, I was gonna say because you and I were born in 84, and like I know plenty of stuff that happened in the 70s, even plenty of stuff that happened in the 60s. I have a vague frame of reference for because I heard enough about it.
And also too, they shoved it down our throats when we were growing up.
Well, and that, and there were so few options that you watched reruns of old shows because there just wasn't anything else to do at the time. Now there's just so much new stuff all the time that it feels like a complete and utter waste of time if you ever watch something a second time. Oh my gosh.
I had cable, at the time, everybody was
exposed to the same thing, basically. Same TV shows, same radio stuff, same...
When cable happened, some people got cable, some people didn't. So,
I'm saying the basics, though, like you're all watching the same stuff, whereas now it's like you have that plus
a billion other platforms and a billion. The internet. You have the internet.
And it's like how MASH had the biggest series finale of all time, and that will never get matched again. Hell, even the Seinfeld one, which was up there too in the late 90s, like that is never going to be matched again because you are not going to get that many people to watch the same thing at the same time. Because there's a bunch of different options, and if they don't feel like it, they'll just watch it in the morning on demand. Like, you can't, even when there's only three stations, you know, a third of the country is watching the same freaking show. So, boom, easy enough.
You know, there's one person of part of this conversation that really isn't part of this conversation got real quiet.
It's not my place.
Because he was just like, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Well, I knew that if I said anything, you guys would be like, shut up.
Yeah. It's like, the grandparents are doddering around again. Let them punch themselves out, and then I'll take over.
I mean, I was going to say that I find it very interesting, because like my mom like introduced me to records and everything like that when I was a kid. But I find it interesting that now I had a friend tell me that her younger cousin, who's like six, he doesn't call like ads on TV like commercials or ads. He calls them skip ads because on YouTube there's that little button with the skip ad.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Like you're automatically programmed to just go to just skip over them.
That's a skip ad.
Like the way he was talking about it. He's like, I saw a really funny skip ad today.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I was actually thinking about this a few weeks ago. It's like there used to be a time where you could be in a group of people and you could quote a commercial and everybody would get what the hell you're talking about. And I wondered if nowadays, because I don't even watch broadcast TV anymore, really, I wondered if people still had that experience, if it wasn't just like a holdover from, I know some people still talk about the Progressive or the, that one chick.
Flo.
Yes, right? But that's like from a previous...
I'm going to say she's been around for a decade.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, do people still do that?
I mean, maybe Super Bowl commercials. Super Bowl. But yeah, outside of that.
I don't recognize them anymore. Like,
no, you're right. And I was also thinking the other day about like how they release vinyl now because it's a funny novelty. So every once in a while you'll get a record available on vinyl. It's like, we're not that many years away from what's like, all they do is release everything digital, and then once in a while be like, let's release a CD. That'll be hilarious.
Yes.
Man, that's one thing I don't miss. I don't miss CDs at all, period. Oh my gosh. The scratching, and then you're holding your CD player, and then it starts skipping on you, and you're just like, oh my gosh,
cherish your giant book with the big zipper on it you could open and flap through your CDs?
Yeah. when you have the double book too, because you have two of them. Still have those.
So enjoyable though, like being able to flip through and actually see them, and it's like it's a real thing. It doesn't just disappear when you're done with it.
Well, see, it did this. That's the problem. It would disappear because people are like, oh, can you burn me that? Can you do that? Can you burn? I'm like, oh, can I just borrow your CD? I'll give it back to you. And it never happens. They never give it back to you. And then, like, the bin of, like, the flip-throughs go somewhere. I don't, nope. There's certain things I don't miss at all.
Someone has some unresolved issues.
DVDs and CDs, I don't miss it. Period. I mean,
the thing is, like, it doesn't just disappear physically. Like, to me, like, media recently kind of disappears from my mind sometimes. I'll watch something and think it was, like, the greatest thing ever. And then next week, it's like I almost forgot I watched it, you know.
Same.
It doesn't mean it's not great, but it's like, oh, you know.
I'm totally the opposite. Like there are certain things where like I'm so glad a lot of things that you just download, and I get to keep, and I know they're there, and I can like back it up, and I don't have to like oh my gosh, because I don't really download a lot from these iTunes or whatever, you know, but. Like, but in terms of songs, in terms of music, since they've taken off a lot of DRM for this music, because, like, ain't nobody got time, I can back it up, I can save it, I could do this, like, or whatever, I could just flip, like, it's like a godsend. I will always, I'm still listening to tracks from 96 that I've done, you know, downloaded other ways, but, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still have those things because I keep going back to them.
Yeah, I still have files on my computer that have migrated from computer to computer to computer since the 90s for me.
So yeah. Mm-mm-mm. What you mean when you were a zygote?
Yeah. When I was, you know, 3 or whatever it was.
Oh boy. Yes.
Well, it's funny, and actually this is a kind of a segue to what our main topic is. I remember taking 15 minutes to download an MP3 of the full Jetman theme. I remember that very distinctly. And I remember like taking an hour to download a video of the Jetman theme because it was like, I don't know, like what was it? 20 megabytes or something. It's like, all right, dial up internet.
All right. Time to like leave this overnight. Woo, wake up in the morning.
That, if you were downloading an episode of something, like oh, you're weak
oh,
on
the yeah, no, well. That's overnight, y'all. Yeah. For real.
Jeez.
All right. So, yeah. Look, Jet Man, this is the review. We've got our DVDs from Shout Factory. And it's pretty much standard, you know, 51 episodes on 8 discs and, you know, English subtitles. And you get your Jetman on. And although I would have to say, I think I've dropped this a couple of times. And the poor like CDs kept like falling out. Like, I don't know what it's called. This whole mechanism that they have here.
The spindle? It's not a spindle, but like the little flippy trays.
Like the flippy trays. Like, yeah, like, you know, they all just keep falling out, and
this comes after you admitted that you dropped it a couple times, so.
I'm just saying that one of the hinges is actually missing, so,
wow, it's been gently used.
That was a thing, but the contents, right? This is the reason why we wanted to review this is because this is the first Sentai that they've released that came before Power Rangers as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal. I remember when the announcement was made, people were like, yes, Jetman is amazing. This amazing. So
well, it was also so funny that because we thought, oh, maybe once they get through all the modern ones, then they'll go back and they might start with Go Ranger or something. But no, like we're about to get Gal Ranger, or we just did. Like, has that come out yet?
It comes out in December.
Okay, so we are about to get Gal Ranger, and then like, oh yeah, but we're also going to do Jetman. And a lot of people are thinking like, oh, is this a test? Are they going to release more? I'm sure it is. But the fact, if we're like into Gal Ranger and these are still selling, I think Jetman will do just fine.
Boy, I really hope they just go back and forth from this point forward.
Same.
Just, yeah. Because there are so many... I mean, realistically speaking, there are a lot of early Sentai seasons that suck, but I've not seen them, so I kind of want to just see that old stuff. Because there is a certain charm to, you know, the more practical effects, and when they use CGI, it sucks. Stuff like that, you know?
But what, like the fact that they don't have CGI, especially in the really older, like 70s ones, leads to a lot of creativity.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is something that I've always said that I loved and appreciated and made me more of a fan of this stuff in the first place. Is like seeing like their resources are limited, but what can they achieve with what they've got? That stuff has always gotten me. It's interesting, okay, that because Jetman is right before G-Ranger, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like right before what becomes Power Rangers. So that's what we're starting with as far as like the pre-Power Rangers stuff. If there is another one of these pre-Power Rangers things, is it just going to be the one before Jetman? Or
will they go right? I would hope that's
like
what they
Ranger time.
I don't think they're going to jump to Jack. Like, I don't think that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, they're either going to go to five man or they're going to go to the very beginning. I feel like that's
super Jay.
Wow.
And then Go Ranger is also like 80 something episodes, right? They can't.
Yeah, Go Ranger is very long. And it's not good.
Do two sets for that.
It's not good.
Wow.
Well, and it's interesting you were mentioning all the practical effects stuff, because even in watching these two episodes, I was like, wow, this action looks great. These visuals, like their little computer generated effects are terrible, but they're charmingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like anytime there's a green screen or whatever blue screen shot, it's like, oh wow, okay, I get it.
Right.
Let's start with the because we're doing two episodes, all right?
Yeah.
And so let's start with the premiere.
Yeah. Can I quickly like place Jetman, because so I've heard different stories over the years, and so the first thing is that supposedly there's a very strong chance that this was going to be Power Rangers. Like
Yeah,
and they decided against. I mean, I don't know if it was delays, if it was because they just felt like dinosaurs were a better idea. But there was a good chance this was going to be Power Rangers, and so Jetman in general is, for those who've seen it, it's based very strongly on an actual anime called Gatchaman. It's got the whole same bird theme, similar helmets, that sort of deal. And at the time, from what I've been told, they were very close to canceling Super Sentai in general. And Jetman is similar to, I would say, RPM in the sense that they were basically done with the franchise. And so they allowed the people in charge just to do what they wanted. Yeah. And so they ended up creating what a lot of people say is, and I know this is the dirty word, but they said it was like the darkest season ever, which it does deserve those claims for certain things. I would say as somebody who's watched the series before, and it ended up getting very good ratings, like some of the strongest ratings they had in years. And in a lot of ways it saved the franchise.
And in effect, helped Power Rangers exist.
Correct. Although one of the weirdest things to me is that while this helped save the franchise, it came back the next year and did a complete 180.
And did garbage. Like,
G-Ranger is widely regarded as one of the most colorful, boring, kid of the week, no actual plot, blah, 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 crappy seasons. And the only reason, by and large, that we have any love for is because it's Power Rangers, because the characters have almost no character to them. They all love each other all the time. Great kumbaya, blah, blah, blah. Let's just focus on the kid this week and their problem, because apparently these five Rangers are friends with every single child in the city, which is kind of creepy.
I found it very, and to also place it a little bit, like you said, I remember hearing about Jetman for a very long time on the internet, long before getting these episodes was as easy as it is today. So, you know, we live in a good time for that. I remember reading a website that had episode summaries of the entire season of Jetman. I don't remember them very well, but there was even sometimes during this episode, there would be like a scene and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I remember, because that website had a photo from this scene, like a very grainy, low res photos. So for me, coming in and finally getting to sit down and watch Jetman for the first time, or I think I watched a couple episodes many, many years ago, but to really sit down and be like, okay, I can sit down and watch this whole thing is like, times have delightfully changed for tokusatsu fans where you can get this stuff legally and very easily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah. I guess the last bit of, or well, maybe if unless there's more, of sort of setting up is that it's an interesting artifact just because, like, the creative credits, like I think I mentioned in the last review that we recorded, was that I said Kamen Rider Agito and Kamen Rider Fives were some of my favorite Kamen Rider shows, which are more modern, you know, in the 2000s. Both of those, and also Kamen Rider Kiba, were written by the person who wrote Jetman as, like, the lead writer. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but, like, the director of the first two episodes, maybe, probably more, also is the creator of Garo, which is, you know, now a big franchise. And he also did a bunch of other stuff in this genre that's quite noted. So it's kind of a big deal. Sort of like, in a way, sort of origins of some what we now think of as like recent classic stuff.
Yeah, I would say right from the jump of the first episode, kind of getting into that, it starts off like there's not a lot of preamble. They just dive right into it.
None.
Well,
zero.
These episodes are short as hell.
19 minutes, yo.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing that, like, it's just like, yeah, you know, like, we have these Birdonic or Birdemic whatever waves, and they're like, yeah, okay. They're just, like, nodding their heads up, like, you know, you have any questions about that? You have any questions about these waves?
It's science. Yes. In the year 1990X.
Like, oh, my gosh, so far in the future. Yeah, because, I mean, Sentai, especially back in the day, it started quickly. Like, it was very common for it just be like, oh, bad guy's here. Here's five people. Give them things, and they're going to go fight them. And by the end of the first episode, they've already had their first battle. Maybe they've called their mecha. Not sure yet.
So this is slower by comparison.
Yes.
Because they don't introduce all five.
No. And some of the ones in the 90s actually did do that. Like, I know Die Ranger was one that was super slow to introduce things.
Gaku Ranger did that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically this starts out with them. They introduce a couple of the main characters. And so the whole idea is that, you know, the Earth has been guarded by this peace force, and it's just some generic, you know, command center, because there's always a generic command center in these series from the 80s and 90s where it's like there's always one, you know. But so the whole idea is that they're getting people that can be given these superpowers, these Birdonic waves, because so they're trying to like cherry pick, and they decide to cherry pick when they find this guy and girl who stop a Dalek.
What was that about? What Dalek?
So
exterminate.
What I mean, it was just like going crazy, like just shoot. Like, first off, how come this particular machine, like, it looks going like crazy. Yeah, like, how come it gave it so much power to, like, you know, lasers? Like, what kind of machine?
Like, what was the training what is mission at first? Yeah.
What's its regular job when it's not going crazy?
For real.
Kill people. just kill everyone. That's the job. I don't know.
Yeah, but so yeah, it gets stopped by Ryu and his girlfriend.
Ray.
Because of course, it's a main red guy named Ryu. Of course, I mean,
yeah, of course.
Of course.
Let's be creative with the names, guys. But yeah, so they stop them, and then the chick in charge is like, okay, I'm going to get those two. Those two are going to get Birdonic waves. And so she's, you know, they give them to the main guy, and as they give them to him, the bad guys of the series, the Virum, attack. And when they attack, they basically destroy the base, like, super easy.
Hold on. You got to slow down for a moment, right?
They skim past the amazing lady in charge.
I have never... I unlike you guys, have never seen Jetman ever in life. Okay. So here I am everybody's saying, oh my gosh, Jetman is amazing, blah, 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 blah. And I have to put my mind in the frame of, okay, this came out early 90s. Okay. early. All right, mind frame. All right, so you know, not we ain't in HD, we be barely in SD. So let's keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was surprised of how quickly they just kind of got into the show. So I was like, okay, cool. And then, poor child. And then also, I was surprised how quickly they got into how Ryu and Rie or Ray or whatever you say her name. They were just like, nope, they're together. Let's just establish that right now. They are together. Boom. Done. I was like, oh, okay. They're the little hands. You know, and then as the woman in charge, what is her name? What name did they give her?
Aya.
Who?
Aya. A-Y-A.
I just call her the commander. And like, I love that they're all like the two of them are like, oh, like, you know, like we're together. Like, would being Jetman like make us not be together? She's like, well, the Jetmans would be together all the time. So you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
All five of you will be in a polyamorous relationship. Okay. Cool. But yeah, this is actually the first female in charge ever in Sentai.
Really?
Yes.
Ah.
She's awesome. I love her.
She does not take any crap. She gets to do the classic, you're being crazy, so I'm going to punch you in the gut and throw you over my shoulder. We're out of here.
Pretty much. It's great. Pretty much.
That's such a staple of Toku where it's like,
that you're was being, my like, favorite punch. Thing where Ryu's like being all man painty, like, cause yeah, like the bad guys attack, and like his wife basically, or his girlfriend, I don't know,
girlfriend
gets like blown out of the airlock, and he's like, no. Then he does all the man painting, like, oh my gosh, and then the commander just punches him
in the gut.
Shut up,
we're leaving.
Let's go.
Enough of your foolishness. You can cry about your dead girlfriend later. We're out of here.
So even before then, right? As Ryu is like, everybody is watching him get his waves on, right?
Well, that was weird.
And one, that's weird. Two, and I'm like, these people are just wearing sunglasses.
Like, inside.
They're just wearing sunglasses. Like, these waves that can give people superhuman strength and all those other things or whatever. Yes. And they just wearing some Gucci's. Like, what are we doing?
But you don't worry. It's all in control by one blonde lady. One random blonde lady.
It was so like, okay, all right. Like, maybe the props. Y'all couldn't get no, like, goggles. Nothing. Like, what is everybody just had sun shades. And the shades weren't just like, okay, they're all black, whatever. No, they're, like, nicely tinted. Like, what? Okay. A little note that
they
I just
spent, and they spent so much money on their cardboard sets, Lisa. They
oh, yeah.
Can't spend anymore.
Oh yeah, and then homegirl Rie wanted to jump in because like she's seeing her dude in pain, and she's like, "No, stop! Like, what are you doing? What are you gonna do?
You will melt in front of them. That's not for you."
Like, I just like the idea that these waves are just like, we have five sets of waves and they're contained, and if you like break the container, they ooze out. Like,
and I love how, like, they just aren't explained. She's just like, yeah, we have them. There's no like big mystical backstory or like, oh, we gotta go find them. She's like, no, we got it. Yeah.
No, they just have a whole bunch of computers that like show what the Jetman will look like, and that's it. They have these waves, and then that's it. What else do you need?
Honestly, in a more modern series, I might be like, oh, they should explain that. But on the other hand, I'm like, I like that they just don't even bother.
No.
They're just like, nah. This show is not concerned with that.
Yeah. Lately, I've been complaining a lot about plot and stuff like that. This is exactly like an example of like, you don't need that right now. Maybe at some other point, whatever. But like right now, just like focus on the characters and the people and, you know,
mm-hmm. Have character moments. We don't need that exposition right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So can we talk about this, the Vireman? The
Vireman.
The Vireman.
Yeah.
Dude comes out of the sky, shows up in somebody's little coffee mug.
My coffee mug. No.
Like, oh. What?
And he's like, we're going to destroy your planet in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Or, well, the ship, in the sky, whatever it's called, the base.
The Earth ship. That's what it's called. Earth ship.
Well, yeah. The Oz ship. Yeah.
Earth ship.
But yes, so, leadership. Yeah, they're...
What do you think, Lisa? What do you think?
The villains. Okay. All right. So, like, you got the one that looks like, oh, gosh, what was it when Rita would call on when she's doing her spells and like say that again.
Lokar.
Yeah, that looks like Lokar's little brother or something, right? One of them. And then like his little sister comes out too, like at some point. Then there's like a robot situation. And then there's this little kid who looks like he's dressed up for Halloween. Like
he looks like he's the main guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about it having watched the show.
We should save certain things until maybe later in the because there is a note, and I kind of wondered if Lisa noticed a certain particular thing, but
So just first on, all you see is the main guy at the beginning. You just see Radiget, something like that. Main guy. Yeah,
you'll who like shows up in people's coffee mugs and in the sky and like yeah. Like, yeah, like says, we're going to destroy Earth in 1 minute. I'm like, girl, bye. So, not really a fan of the villains right now. Not, and I'm in the don't care mode, right? But they are escalating very quickly. Very quickly.
And again, this was another thing where it was like, this is what the villains tended to look like back in the day. It was paint their face, put some wacky thing on their head that might have covered their eye or whatever. Ooh, I'm a scary bad guy. That happened a lot.
We're used to it now, but Rita Repulsa, I mean, look at her. Like, come on.
Yeah.
She got all kinds of stuff sticking out of her. And
yeah. Objectively, she's a joke. She's a complete joke. Like, let's
right.
be real.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even...
I mean, look at Babu. Come on. Babu is a typical 80s, early 90s, like, Sentai villain, where it's like, come on, dude. What are you supposed to be?
The kid. The kid was, like, everybody's outfits and whatever looked really, like, yo, this is, like, top-tier cosplay, and homeboy looked like he went to Party City. So, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't have a problem with the outfits. I'm just in the, because like, I don't know much about them yet. So like, I'm in the don't care mode right now. Like, whatever. But so they escalate very quickly.
Give them time.
Yeah. When they attack the base, the other Burdonic waves get sent out after, you know, Ryu's girlfriend dies.
Yes.
Randomly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they just get shot down to Japan. Of course they do.
Well, yeah, of course.
And that's like one of the biggest establishing things about this show, and it's one of the things that attracted me to it in the very beginning, was just so often in these shows where you just have five people get these powers, they come together, and in about 2 seconds, they're a team. They learn to like each other, and like there are so many seasons of these Sentai, like Die Ranger is another one, where it took me multiple episodes just to remember which Ranger was which color, because they were just generic-looking dudes. And they had so little actual personality to them. And the best thing about this is these four powers get sent to four different people, and they couldn't be more different from one another. Like, you immediately can tell the difference between everybody. And the fact of the matter is, the only generic one about them is the Red Ranger.
And, well, you say generic, but, like, honestly, his body type is not really what I would expect modern casting to hire. I would expect someone leaner and thinner, like less, like more what we as Americans would think of as like physically imposing. Like he's muscle bound compared
Yeah, very true. You're right, because they got into a pattern for so long that I remember when Bo Kenger came out, we were like, oh my gosh, you got an old school Red Ranger. You got one who actually is just awesome, and that's all there is to it. He just is great at everything. He's awesome. And at that point in time, something that used to be the cliche was now the new hotness. It was so stood out from the pack that it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're back to this again.
The moment for me is when, because Ryu is like, okay, I got to go out and find the people who are struck by these waves. The first person he goes to find is this like rich girl. And at first, you're sort of like, okay, what's she about? And then he's like, she's making this joke, like, oh, they're like, we want you to be a jetman. She's like, oh, I'll be a gentleman. They're like, no.
No. Gentleman. It's like, oh, okay, great. I want to escape because this sucks. I'm bored. So, yeah, no, yes, gentlemen, sign me up.
That line where she's like, oh, yeah, I get to do something fun and this will be really exciting. I'm like, that line right there, gives her more character than literally the entire cast of Zoo Ranger combined.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It gives you something that you can chew on and say, ooh, there's a lot of possibilities you could go with this character just based on that one scene alone.
Mm-hmm. And she's the type of character that you would actually think would be the first to say, I don't want to do this. Why?
Like, yeah. Oh, I'm all prim and proper. What?
Yeah. But she's like, okay, I'll save the world. Like, she just has no concept of, like, what she's getting into. You know,
and she sure don't know how to fight yet, child, because you see that later in the episode. Like, mm-hmm. She don't know jack. Okay.
Oh my god, I still love that the physical. There's the shot where she's like swinging the basket at like the foot soldiers or whatever. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I love that. Was like one of my favorite action moments of the whole first two episodes, of her just swinging wildly, not knowing what to do. But you know,
and so they go to find a yellow guy who's like a bigger dude for Sentai. You know,
yes.
Like he's not like, yeah, he's not like huge, you know.
Right. But he's definitely not like in shape, and he's got glasses. You know, he's kind of a dorking looking dude.
He's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. He's a farmer. He's like, I love my vegetables. That's what I do. I make vegetables.
Yes. This is the second kind where I would not expect to see often cast today, which I think is a shame.
Because
I have like different body types and think that can only add variety.
And because like you, and it's not like, oh, well, they got like a stocky guy, but then the stunt person is a skinny mini. Like, no, like the stunt person is also, I mean,
he's not as stocky, but he can tell. You can tell.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was all for it.
Where like his like stomach just like gets smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like the American dude in Kyoryuger, the cyan guy, where it's like he's a big dude.
Then
they get a normal suit actor.
It's right. Like, what is that? Do you even have people? Like, come on.
right. Yeah.
But although that was like not a main character, like.
True.
I would love to have an actual main character that was played up as that, and you know. Just part of the cast. Whereas now it just feels like so much of like, man, you guys look kind of hungry. Like, are you all right? You do. Mm-hmm. Everybody's yeah, like, the same.
They're all very much like, you know, models, you know, like very thin. And it's like, look, there's nothing wrong with being thin or whatever else. Just, you know, variety. Oh. Variety's great.
Yes. Visual difference. And also just different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I kind of, and what, I mean, although, I'll have to say that the farmer guy, I forgot his name, how do you
Raita.
Say his name?
It's Raita. Raita. Yes.
So, I understand not wanting to, like, you being scared and everything, but he's just like, well, you know, not affecting me, whatever, I just farm, leave me alone, get away from me, go away. But I'm like, homeboy, somebody's telling you that you go and die, the earth is about to die, and you'd be like, nah, I'm good. Like, nah,
says,
I'm cool.
He's like, I'm a pacifist. I don't like violence.
I don't like violence. I'm
if
like,
you step on his cabbage, then he'll kill you.
Oh my
For
God.
Real? For real?
Yeah.
So like,
he gets his hoe out and he's gonna attack you.
Like, that's the thing. And I mean, so yes, while I appreciate that he did not want to join the team right away, and it took the Pink Ranger to kind of coerce him and really
Ranger.
Like
she had to eat his vegetables.
White or pink?
White. She's white.
It's officially, that's her name is White Swan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so annoying.
I hate it.
It's Where really it's annoying. She's pink. Wearing pink.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say this later, like when we got to the full team. But like, I've always been like a stickler for costumes, and I always hate the idea of like using a color as one of the Ranger colors, and then it is so prominent on everybody's suit that it always looks off, and to the point where there's so much white on all their costumes that they replaced her white parts with pink. So she doesn't, like, she looks so off from the rest of the team.
I don't mind her suit. She wears pink!
Yeah,
she
has almost as much pink as she has white on her costume, where it's like, okay, you shouldn't have used white for everybody if you were going to have a White Ranger.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody has white on them. Like,
what are you doing?
Pink Swan.
So annoying. Yeah. That's so annoying. That's annoying.
Because that's my favorite color scheme is red, blue, yellow, black, white. But if you're going to have so much pink on it, you've already ruined it in the first place. Just switch the two colors around and make her pink. Like, yeah, so. Oh, well.
But yeah, the White Ranger.
Tiger Power.
She is trying to coerce the yellow one.
To convince.
Coerce. She was getting her flirt on. She was.
She's like, oh, what are these? Tell me about your vegetables.
I really like this one. I'm going to take a chomp on this.
Your long cylindrical vegetable is delicious in my mouth.
She's far too innocent to be aware of those things. Like,
lies.
Come on.
Trying to get a friend.
Been around. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I read it as
a certain type.
Maybe you guys have seen the rest of the series. I took it as no. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she's doing whatever she's like. She's like, no, you're gonna fight.
I think she does. Yes, I think she plays more naive than she is.
Yeah, she plays dumb. But then the Vyrum foot soldiers come out, which like not their suits are fine. They're just a little. They seem like a little slapdash. They gotta just throw some little explosion-y looking things on their chest, and we're good.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just pleased that I'm not offended by their weirdness. Like they're foot soldiers. Like, you know, there's not weird stuff hanging off of them. They don't have like bat wings out of their heads, and you know, like just. They're not swabbies. They're not.
Leave swabbies alone.
You calm down. You back up.
I'm happy to leave the swabbies alone.
Which one are worse? These or the one from Abba Ranger?
The
ones from Abba Ranger.
The black and white ones? Yeah.
God, yeah.
I mean, they fit the theme. Like, I mean, they look like Zeltrax, so it works. But. Meh.
And these are generic. Like these Jetman ones, they're just very generic.
Yeah, they're very generic. I like the ones from Abba Ranger. You might not like them, but like with all the actual villains in Abba Ranger, there's a very clear theme to the design, and they work with them. Like they're part of the bigger picture. They're not just there. Like here, they're just whatever. They're just black things.
But
so like they get into like you know a fight. And, you know, Ryu transforms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, you guys. And then he, like, I love when he does the throw the morpher to yellow. Just, like.
It just latches off.
Yeah.
And when those two morph, they're terrible at it. They're so bad. And I love it.
Yeah, there's something to be said for Rangers who don't know what they're doing. Like, that was always part of the charm, like, in Gokaiser, how pink and green were like, whoa, what are we doing? That sort of deal, where it's like, you can have a team where everybody's not immediately an amazing fighter. You know, you can have...
Which is fine.
I mean, that was part of the charm of Billy, really. Like, to have somebody who's bumbling around and slowly but surely learns what they're doing.
In, like, the second episode.
Yeah,
well... Well, I mean, he improves. Ziggy improves.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a thing, and I mean in this case, it's offset by red.
And I thought it was interesting, Tristan. I just want to expand on what you were saying earlier. Is that the suit actors who are playing them match the physicality of the actual actors very, very well?
Definitely. Yeah. It's interesting because like the first episode. Aside from Ryu, who is obviously, he's the leader, he's a stand-up guy, he's, you know, the boss. But, like, the first episode focuses on the two sort of newbies who have to kind of find their way, and the second one is, like, the ones that are, like, born experts. Like, they know what to do. They're clearly stronger and more skilled and more savvy and ready to sort of take things on, at least in a more upfront kind of way. And interesting that we separate them like that, which I don't, I guess we're jumping ahead maybe, but like the second episode, it's called The Third Warrior. And I was confused, or at least that's the title.
Who's
I was confused
third?
As to what that meant because we have three here.
Was it like Ryu doesn't count. So there was yellow and white, and then, but then there's black and blue. So this makes no sense.
Right. I was like, yes. What? Is there something that I'm not getting?
I don't understand either. No. I was going to ask y'all.
Counting is an issue. Yes.
Can we also talk about the ending theme of the show for a hot second?
It's a love song.
It's a love song, which is like, you know, that's very standard for these. I mean, hell, some opening songs are basically love songs these days. The visuals of it are very different for me because you're used to just like, oh, generic, like, oh, we're all like laying in a field or whatever. Here it's like there's like these cutouts and like this.
Yeah, it's a scrapbook. Yeah.
It's a super nostalgic of like a different era of like, well, mostly aviation and those kinds of images of like classic, I guess, pop culture or just culture in general.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting to look at and see all this stuff sort of roll.
And the fact that it's all like live, like they didn't do that with like a computer. Like it was all like they just pan across this whole thing at the end that they clearly just made. I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
It definitely kept my eyes' attention more than a lot of these, because a lot of ending themes, especially just the Five Rangers, just, oh, they're dancing around or they're just playing on the beach or some nonsense like that. Like, it actually was more dynamic in that sense, even though it was a lot of static images. Like, just the way they all played into each other. It was quite fun.
Yeah, I watched it once, and that was good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, no matter what the theme is, especially when you have a DVD, you know, remote in your hand, it's like skip, 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 skip. But yeah.
So, second episode, the third warrior.
There's something actually that I was wondering about, and since we skipped over it, I guess maybe I might have my answer. But towards the end, we see villains showing up. I know, yes. We talked about them a minute ago.
Was that in the first episode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, yeah. Where all the other villains show up. The little kid, the robot who smokes and drinks. I love him.
Right.
I love Gray.
And then there is a chick.
Maria.
Yes, with her toadstool head.
So do we notice anything about her?
What, that she looks like Commander?
She looks like what?
What are we supposed to notice, Tristan? What are we supposed to notice?
Wow, you guys didn't notice? Wow,
no. Interesting.
See, this is what I'm saying. I was like, don't say anything about it until the end, because
should we say it?
Well, I think you're supposed to know. Okay, you're supposed to immediately see it.
It's the same actress as Rey.
Oh.
Oh.
What is this? What is that?
Mm, what's that? Right. We're using like, the my lover. No.
Okay. So that's supposed. Okay. I don't. Because what I knew that there was a thing, because they were just like they didn't show her all the way, right?
Yeah.
At first, and so I knew there was a thing, but then I was just like, well, maybe this is a Japanese thing. I don't know, child. I don't know. So. You know, so we, so they had to kill her off quickly so she can, like, be, interesting.
That's all we'll say.
All right.
Nothing more to say, but yeah, I think you are supposed to immediately just be like, oh, that's.
Yeah, because.
Like, what's her name?
They showed her from a distance at a couple of different angles, and then they really zoomed in on her at the very end. So it's like, oh, there she is.
Okay, all right. So,
ending, dun dun dun. And then dun, it dun. Immediately goes to be continued. Like, that's it.
Right.
The main Jetto Jetto Jetman.
Okay, all right. Now, the second episode where it's we're supposed to meet the other two.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the third warrior, but the other two.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The third set of warriors?
I have no idea what this means. So one of them was a high school girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she realizes that, like, she's watching this dude, like, mess up with the high bar. So, like, she's just like, wait a minute. I think I could figure this out. I think I could do better. And she's normally not a person who is into gym or athletics. But she is now, for a price.
That was so great. She's like, yeah, 1,500 yen to compete in your competition.
No, yeah. It was 2,000.
That's right, 2,000. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main thing about Akko is she's straight up a gold digger. Like, that's her main characteristic for early on, at least. She just wants money. Yeah, she just wants money. She'll do anything that'll get her money. All she cares about is if you can pay her to do it. To be a Jetman, she wants to get 1,500 yen per hour. She's just, yeah.
I love her. She's already great. Like,
yes.
And the youngest.
Yeah, and she's more, and I actually like her more than Kaori. Like, attractiveness-wise, I think she's cooler.
Wow.
Big fan of her.
She's cooler.
And female Blue Rangers are always my favorite. Love them. They're great.
I hope you know you're saying that about a character who's supposed to be in high school.
She's 18.
Well, a character.
Okay. Yeah, she's a character. She's 18.
There are people in their 30s that are playing
high school. Fair.
They make sure to firmly establish that she's 18.
Okay.
When did they establish this?
Not yet.
So we don't know that. Okay.
As someone who's watched the show, she's 18 years old, I promise you.
Okay, we watching you. So I like the idea that she's just like, listen, I'm in high school, but you know, I need a job and you could make this my job, so you could just pay me that money. And so then the other person that got hit, you see like a little speakeasy, you know, gambling situation, and you know, he's gambling with this other woman, and you know, you see his hand of cards playing poker is one set of cards, and then when he puts it down on the table, it's another set. Mm-hmm. And then of course he quote unquote wins, but he's like, nah, girl, you know what I'm saying, you can have all that, you know, you can have a little more if you will roll with me. I'm just saying.
Yes, I'll give you something else.
I'm curious, do you remember, because I know you watched Gokaiger, do you remember his episode of Gokaiger?
Nope, because I remember I didn't watch the ones where like other people showed up in, because I never saw the episode. I mean, I never saw other Sentai seasons, so I'm like, this is not going to mean anything to me. So
yes, oh, okay. There are certain elements of that plot, and yeah, we should not go into certain.
So it was interesting to me that the way he just demonstrates his power is like the guy's like, we don't take kindly to gamblers. And he just shoves him like super far away, and then he's like, oh, and he's not even thinking about getting any. He just runs away.
Yes,
and to me, it looked like, okay, well, that doesn't seem so far away or so strong, like a regular person couldn't do it. Because sometimes, you know, when you kind of hit a person the right way, they can stumble and fumble and fall farther than they would normally would. So, I don't know. To me, I'm just like, all right, guys. All right. But they showed him again when he, you know, he plays the saxophone, y'all.
Oh, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And he's sweating up a storm. And homeboy, like, crushes his own saxophone. Like, okay. Now I get it.
He's really into it.
It's movie Jason destroying the sink. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. This is very true. So, yes. Yeah, I mean, I just... What's his name again?
Guy.
Okay, easy. So it is Ryu and the commander... They're in the sky looking for, well, they end up finding Guy, but they're looking for one set. And then you have pink and white and yellow looking for the other one, right?
Yes.
So in the sky, they're just minding their business. All of a sudden, these Virums, they're just like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a little, I don't know what it was looking like, a scorpion, what was it looking like?
It was
like?
Weird, because it was just a plane, but he, oh, you're talking about the monster of the week? where it had like
the one because the commander's in the plane and they shoot something into the plane and then it goes all weirdo tentacle crap on her.
Yes,
it like gains arms, just random arms.
It does, and it takes over the plane and she's like, "Nope, I'm getting out of this mess." Peace. Ejects herself, you know. So that is like subplot situation going on, and then I don't know who found whom first.
Well, Kaori found Akko, and then Akko's like, "You gotta pay me to be a jetman." She's like, "Okay, I'm gonna write a check right now."
Hold up. First up, rewind though, right? Like, so Akko, that's her name?
Yes.
So she's in the meet, right?
Oh yeah.
And everybody's watching her, and she's like, "Nah, B, put it up high, higher." Higher, and the coach is like, "What is she doing?" And she does one of them flippy doos over it, like, you know, perfect tans and everything. Everyone's like, "Oh my gosh!"
And the clock rolls right next to it.
They just drive up. Like, first off, like, and then no security, no nothing. You, a bunch of adults can just be like, "Hey, girl, hey, you're coming in the car with us." Like, what is going on?
Like, I love her because, like, let's be real. If you got these superpowers out of nowhere, would you be like A, the Mighty Morphin Power, and just be like, "Okay, let's go fight crime together, guys"? Or would you be B, "I'm going to exploit these powers the second I realize I have them for personal gain"? That's what I'm doing. Yep. Boom.
I don't know if I quite.
Like, I don't care. One. I was the loser kid who couldn't do anything in gym class. The second I get superpowers, yep, I'm gonna go beat every record we have right now. Suck it.
That great for you. I just thought that, like, I know that they're trying to move the plot along, but you can't just have two grown adults, actually three grown adults, because you have like the driver and then you have two other grown adults be like, "Hi, come with us." Like, what?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible that they thought that she's their kid or their family member, you know? Because
no,
like, her parents,
it was so
there.
Informal. It was just like, "Hi, yeah, you must be, you be a gentleman. Let's go." Like, what? Like, and like, no adult would like, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing? Where are you going?" Like, nothing. Call
she
her
can
parents.
Handle herself. Clearly, yeah. Like, she's proven.
So,
those teachers aren't paid enough. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we lose a kid, whatever. We're not gonna get fired.
This was the '90s. Come on,
that's true. That's true, though.
Nothing's gonna happen.
But... Oh my gosh, no stranger danger was invented yet. Like, what?
Nope.
Anywho,
nope. We didn't have any VHS lessons about that at that point.
Oh
in time.
My gosh. Yeah. So, like, homegirl, like, they're explaining to her, "Hey, listen, you got hit by the, you know, ray of light, you know, Madonna on them, you know what I'm saying? And like, you need to join the crew, fight evil, mm-hmm. save the day. Let's go." Homegirl's like, "All right, that's cool. Write me the check, though."
She's like, "That sounds really taxing."
Exactly. $1,500 an hour. Not even a day. An hour. Write it now. And then, yo, White Ranger's like, "All right. Takes
check
just,
out.
Just.
$1,500 an hour is actually minimum wage, but it's fine.
She takes a, you know, little dab on her tongue. I'm like, "Right, let's write this out here. 10 million yen. I don't know how much that converts to, but
you typically just chop off the last two zeros.
It's more than
for an 18 year old.
Casually, is
yeah,
like, hey,
it's $100,000.
Is that like right, is that a down payment? Like, we got you for this many hours. Like, yeah, convert right. that out.
Like, she put a retainer. Yeah, like, this is your retainer. Boom.
No, that's just the day. That's just for the preliminary trial.
She just hands her that check. She's like, "Okay."
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Boom. And she's like, "What?" Like, and then that's when they get attacked. Like, "All right. So, boom. You are now part of us. Let's go. Yes. You accepted the check. Let's go." It's hilarious.
We have to get to the Mike Tyson punch out. Of black and
oh
red.
Oh my god.
Yeah. How great is that? Is it's. "Hey, you should join us. You got these powers. Punch!"
It's like get away from me, weirdo.
Yeah. Like, who are you people? Who are you people?
Just like, I feel like that's the reaction the girl should have had.
True, true. Or at least she should have, like,
the taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, or like done like a giant jump away from you. Just do pole vault away.
But something. What's up with Black Friend just being all like, I work alone? Like, what is up with that?
Yeah, he's, he definitely has a Dylan vibe about him. Something going on a little bit. He's like, nah,
and what's his nuts? What's his nuts? The thief from Will? Overdrive. Will. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I loved about this scene was that, you know, Red is spouting the usual, like, no, we have to save the Earth. And, like, we have to save humans. And Black Ranger's like, humans are crap. Like, yes. How racist?
Yes, he did. Like, he was like, he so speaks to me, especially like in modern times. Nothing right. has changed in all those years.
He's like, humans are garbage. They're racist. They're horrible. Maybe we should die.
Yeah, it wouldn't be so bad if humans die out someday, right? He asks. Yeah, I'm like
you're not wrong. Oh.
Yeah, but you are also a human. You are contributing. You are contributing to like humans not being good people. Well, so.
I think he's expressing a nihilistic view.
Yeah.
A view of like nothing matters. So
that's why I'm a loner because I don't have to rely on anybody and I don't have to deal with
because
this.
Because I always have gloves on.
but his view seems more complicated than the average sort of simple, I work alone, you know, kind of.
The idea that they just casually are like, oh yeah, the reason why I don't want to save humanity is because we're racist. I'm like, that is. Not what I expected in this show, in a good way.
Nope. I know. It seems very topical.
Yeah, boy. Stuff like that is why it still just blows me away to think, this is 1 year before Jew Ranger. How is this the same series? How is that possible? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just, it's complex, you know? Like, you can see where he's coming from, and it's not just like, because even compared to Yellow, who was just like, I'm a pacifist, where it's like, okay, like they have different reasons for why they don't want to do it. But like, it's all very tangible, believable stuff. Like everybody has their own point of view, like be it selfish or I want out of my life, or I just don't want this type of life, or I don't think it's purposeful. Like they all have very complex feelings.
Yes, and bringing those characters together the way that you do is like it's an opportunity to have those conversations, you know,
mm-hmm.
like get conflict. People. Well, right, exactly. Like we shouldn't do this, or he was like, "Well, why not? We should do," you know, like, yes, it's great. It's wonderful writing.
Yeah, and having those four exist is what gives character to the Red Ranger because you still have to have that point of view. The superhero, like, I'm doing the right thing to do because that's what you're supposed to do. How could you possibly think anything otherwise? Like, it in turn makes him interesting as well. Like, you really do have five completely random Rangers with all, like, five, like, main different views on the world. Like, it's a very interesting starting point.
Well, you know, the Red One wasn't being superhero-like when he was punching out the Black dude. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, they were doing a punch out for themselves.
You gotta call him something other than the Black dude.
Guy.
Just call him Guy. I mean,
he did get headbutted, and that was hilarious, by the way. I just find it funny. He just punches the Red guy.
Yes.
You know, and then like yeah, and then they fight. They literally are fighting each other. Like just and then the commander's just standing there like
there's too much testosterone here. Y'all need to calm down. I love her. She is so great.
Yes.
She's great.
When does Guy get in trouble?
What do you mean?
Because the monster of the day carried over from the first episode.
Yes.
And I love, and a little bit about from the first to the second episode, I love that the monster of the day didn't have anything to say. It wasn't full of dumb one-liners. It wasn't full of back and forth crap that we don't care about. Crap, I don't even know what you sound like. Great. It's great.
Yeah, the Rangers aren't all like, wow, this is really tough, but don't worry, we got this. Yeah.
doesn't have a dumb name. Like, even though I like the names. I do like the names. But, like, you know, doesn't even have a name. It's just, you know, this dude is attacking stuff and is eating up people and saving it in his butt. Like, I mean, it's just, it was a breath of fresh air. It really was. It really was. So one half of them had to deal with that, and then the other half had to deal with plain arms monster.
Yes.
It was a giant.
And while it was Akko and what's the white girl, white ranger's name?
Kauri.
The white girl.
Oh, boy. All right, I'll get these. I will. So yeah, three of them is the two girls and the farmer. They go and they deal with the foot soldiers. They deal with that other monster-ish. You know, they deal with them, right? Ish. I think they just deal with foot soldiers, right? Until, like, the monster comes later when all five of them come, right?
Yeah, because they're bumbling around, yeah.
Right. They're still bumbling. They're still trying to figure out themselves, which is fine. Like, let them figure it out. Don't make me see them be perfect with their martial arts, okay? Like, that's fine. But then you have Ryu, who is, you know, trying to fight this plane monster going through. And this plane monster is like, hey, I still got arms. I can pick up guy from the ground.
Yep.
I love how
after they do the really, really cool, like, flying through the red, like, half-constructed thing, that's a nice little bit of miniatures and practical effects, which is beautiful.
I love how Ryu tries to, like, Tommy him at first, where he just, like, jumps up, slashes this giant monster.
Oh, gosh. Well, Tommy was pulling the Ryu, right?
That's right.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Saying. So, like, the whole notion of this monster trying to get the other team member-ish, because really he hasn't joined the team yet, in trouble, and guys still don't realize, like, okay, maybe you should, like, actually join the team. You could actually be a part of the solution and not the problem. And it only took this fool to, like, start falling out of the sky and for real to save his behind. And he's like, all right, I'll join team. I'll be a gentleman. Okay, fine. Still fighting all the way. And even on the ground, trying to fight this other monster, the same monster of the day from the previous episode. Even up to the point where they shooting it all together. Teamwork, okay? Togetherness makes you strong. Teamwork. You point the thing, shoot the thing, like, all at the same time, and he's like, nah.
Like, that was the best thing. Like, they finally all morph together. They stand in a circle. They're like, oh, yeah, all five of us are together. And the second the Red Ranger starts acting like a Red Ranger, telling them, you know, to coordinate their attacks, he immediately turns his back. He's like, nope, not going to do it. No, don't order me around. I do not like to be ordered around. Like, it's fantastic.
And then, like, he, like, gets hit a little bit, and he's like, what? No.
Okay.
Why?
It just makes no sense. It makes no sense that there's a person who is more skilled than you at this particular thing. You should probably listen to them so that you can save your life. He just saved your life.
He just saved your life,
and you're like, nah.
I don't want to give this series away, but I think Red and Black have conflict for a little bit longer.
So dumb. Like, it's so dumb. Like there's certain things where I like conflict where, like, okay, sure. Again, take your time to join the team. Like, you want to work alone, but clearly, like, as we get to the end of the episode, why don't you act like all the way through you're part of the team, and then you, like, flip the do on them, like, psych, nah, B. Don't act stupid in the middle of a fight when you trying to win. Like, that part didn't make any flipping sense at all. At all. So, like, they could have said what they want to say without the extra, like, oh, boom, 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 I don't want to be part of the team. Like, come, get out of here. Get out of here.
Give it time.
And so begins the frustration with Guy.
For real, I am. Yeah. I am in that particular rock quarry fight. Yes, I am. Okay. I know we have many more to come where I'm going to be frustrated, but.
But he has a motorcycle. He's a loner.
Oh gosh.
He's the renegade. Anywho. He smokes.
Anywho, they win. They save the day.
And then Ryu is like, "Victory is ours, samurai forever."
Whatever. They have this moment, you know, like the Blue Ranger is like, you know, I don't need the money, you know, I really should save the Earth. And then they all like turn to the Black Ranger guy and they're just like, hey man, you know, we're all gonna be friends, right? And he's like, bye.
I love that they're all just standing in a circle and they pan to him and he's like five blocks away. Just on his motorcycle. Yeah.
Hunched over, leaning like, meh. You know, Ryu, oh, and no, because he's hunched over because he's trying to like light his cigarette, right? And it ain't working. Ryu comes in and he's like, hey, let me help you with your lighter. All smiles. Yes. All like, hey, buddy, here you go.
Like the music is swelling because we're finally a team.
We're finally a team. And then Guy's like, nah, headbutts him, done. Like, all right. See, that I don't mind. He's like, I just was playing along the whole time. I'm part of y'all. But I thought he was going to drive away with the powers. Nah, he threw back the changes and the this and the whatever. And like, boom, here you go. I don't want to be part of y'all anyway. Don't call me. And just drove off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't mind. I like that part.
That was great. Because
you weren't expecting it.
Yes.
To be continued.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so good.
Now, this character... Okay, so I mentioned being a fan of Kamen Rider Fives. So there's a character in Kamen Rider Fives who, in some ways, has the ability to frustrate in a similar way to Guy, I think. And in fact, he actually kind of looks like him.
You're thinking about Kusaka, right?
Yes, Kamen Rider Kaiza.
Who was such like a jerk, and he's like well known and legendary, in fact, for being a creep and a weirdo. And
it's those
like,
eyebrows.
He's awful.
Yeah.
Oh boy. And
it's him. It's just a way more messed up version.
And guess what? He shows up in Juo-ger and he's Juo Bird. Oh. No!
Oh, does he really? Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. I'm sure that's intentional somehow.
Yeah, he has white hair and he's just, his suit is just a copy of the Red Ranger suit, but he's orange, basically. But he's Jewel Bird.
I think, you know, after these two episodes, I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff you can do with these characters. They're not even done with the introduction, really, because they're not all like a fun-loving team yet. You know, they haven't done their big group roll call or anything like that.
No Zords yet!
Yeah, you just saw the red one, and it didn't even, just as a plane. That's it.
Yeah.
That takes restraint. Because that's the problem. If you have to introduce not only five characters, but Zords in 1 minute episode, in a 19 minute episode, that would be next to impossible to do anything effective. But the fact that they're allowed to take their time, that it helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, I may have had some qualms.
You know, but by and large,
you see
a lot of potential.
It's a way better show than what's currently on.
Yeah.
Like, God, I think,
and this is from how many years ago? 26, 27 years ago.
Yeah, like you're in two episodes and you have six characters who already have a lot working with them and the way they work with each other. Like, there's already tons and tons you can see that would happen with them. You can tell, like, you might not know all the names right now, but you can tell all six of them apart pretty easily.
I would say that, especially for an opening episode, these are some of the best opening episodes I've seen in Toku, like both Japan and Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you who all the characters are, and I'm interested in where the story is going. Are there some weak points? Of course there are. The villains, you're just like, who are you?
Yeah, and we'll get to that. Like,
yeah, of course.
You will get characters for the villains. I can promise you that.
But I think it's interesting because it's like a cast that feels like it's made for conflict and for conversation. You know,
yes.
So like the episodes can just go. Like, they just, you know, almost write themselves based on
what you can, like, pair right? This character with this character, or like, ooh, how will these two people bounce off each other? You can already see interesting combinations forming.
Yeah, and on a much like lesser scale, I think that was one of the things that first attracted us to Dino Thunder. Like, you had Rangers that were just thrown together and they didn't like each other. Like, yes, obviously they mellowed out and eventually became a team pretty quickly because it's Power Rangers, but that was one of the best parts of the premiere, is you've got, like, Ethan straight up insulting Connor to his face. Like, it's fantastic. Because they weren't friends before. They just became a team. It's great. Good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, lessons can be learned, I think, both for modern Sentai and for, well, definitely for modern Power Rangers from Jetman. I think I would like nothing more.
Internal conflict is good.
Yes. I mean, I'm not necessarily expecting people to get punched out, you know, on Power Rangers.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
But, you know.
Yeah. Tommy just didn't have to punch Connor in the first episode. It would have been
fun.
Can
you imagine?
That would have been interesting.
Can you imagine?
After all!
Like, Tommy, like Connor's like, yeah, man, I don't know about this. Like, you're just our teacher. Tommy just whips around, smacks him in the face.
Just headbutts him, yo. Like, what? I was alone.
And then Tommy's like, oh, yeah, man, headbutt the kid, Tommy, real good.
Yeah. I need more black clothes in my closet, and you need more Kleenex for that nose.
No, Tommy just spin kicks Connor.
Yes, like a dinosaur.
Or like the
oh,
like,
no,
the
what you call it, the crotch move.
Oh,
just,
oh, what, no. Oh, that's harassment.
This is, yes, exactly. You're a teacher.
Why have we not brought back the crotch move? Why was that not in the
we are now in the Me Too era?
Randall
so
just
no
walks in. Do you think no. That's appropriate, Dr. Oliver? Oh,
can you imagine if, like, Tommy was fighting against Robot Tommy and he just crotch attacked him?
Oh my god.
They crotch attack each other. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh god, they're tribing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, last thing, right? Okay, Jetman, yada, yada, but like, that reminds me. Now, sometimes Wikipedia can be
wrong.
But Seamus, you brought up earlier this week that yes. There was a particular entry in the Wikipedia.
Yeah, that, because I was looking, I was like, oh, you know, what are some air dates? And, you know, I mean, it's Wikipedia, right? You never know. But I noticed something, and I don't know where this came from. Someone literally could have made this up, but it was about the Christmas episode.
Yeah, now, okay, spoiler alert. We may be spoiling the true end, the true end of Super Ninja Steel. So, if you don't want to listen, all right, guys, good night. All right, and the show's done, and we're wrapped, and all right, and you know, play the theme song under what I'm saying. Okay, so allegedly, this Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel episode.
Would you like me to read this?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So it's called, now these are all to be confirmed. So again, I don't know if this person got their information, but you know, people have been posting about this stuff are usually pretty right. It's apparently called The Poise Show. Ugh. And the description is, the legendary Rangers visit the Ninja Steel Rangers for Christmas. When Coda sees Poisandra on TV as Sledge tries to find a way to return to their own dimension.
Okay.
Just let that sink in. Do we have a particular source that we can verify if this is correct?
No, I don't think so. So, look, again, I don't know. But we do know that in JDF's vlog, when he was shooting in New Zealand, there was some footage of a monster talking, and it was like, ah, now Sledge will be able to defeat you, or something like that. Like, you could hear them saying those lines off camera. So Sledge, we know, is coming back somehow. So,
I see.
Which is like, at least he, because remember how in the first episode of Super Ninja Steel, he just showed up, deposited fan lady, and then left.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there's some resolution question mark there. But the idea that they're bringing Legendary Rangers back for the Christmas episode. So
oh,
you guys can have your Christmas episode. You can't just have like a longer.
And why would they be shooting that stuff during the time when the Legendary Ranger actor people would be shooting their stuff?
It's so weird, right? Where it's like, and again, like, you know, like they have to have their holiday specials, whatever, but it just seems so like, so is it not going to be a clip show? Is it going to be like, oh, little extra Legendary Ranger for you? Or what if it's Coda talking to the Ninja Steel Rangers being like, yes, let me tell you about all my Dino Charge adventures.
Oh boy.
And the clip show is last season. Or two seasons ago, whatever.
Ugh.
It's not great. I don't need to go deeper into why it's not great. At the very least, I hope that the Legendary Rangers that show up aren't just Coda, because, you know, we've just seen him. I would love a little bit more with any of the other classic people. Maybe Kat can say more than three things.
You know, we were doing so well with Jetman. Why did I bring this up?
But here's the thing for Jetman, right? Going back to it, I was, again, so struck with something that is part of this franchise, part of the whole tokusatsu thing. And so many years later, it stands out so incredibly well. And it is something that I think that, again, Power Rangers, you can't have people punching people or whatever else. But I do feel like the modern show could definitely go back and watch some of these things and be like, oh, look at what the kind of things we can do. Oh, wouldn't this be kind of cool to take some inspiration from?
Please do. Yes. I mean, find some inspiration. God.
Jetman is great. Like, I don't want to end on a down note. Jetman is super good just from these first two episodes. I'm excited to watch more. Are we going to watch more for the podcast? I would like to.
Yeah, I think it's nice to talk about a show that we like.
And we can have some jokes, but it's also solid. Like, I'm excited to see how these characters are going to bounce off each other. That's the thing in these sort of shows. I'm not saying it needs to be grounded and realistic, because of course it's not. There's like a crazy, you know, plane monster attacking them, all right? Like, I get it. And like, next episode, it's a faucet monster that's going to go kill them. But when the character stuff, see, like, as long as that is grounded enough, then we're doing great. Like, that's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
Take note, that other show that shall not be named right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take note.
Also, the Jetman theme is hype as hell. Thank you.
Yes.
Jetman, something or another.
Yeah, that's...
Does a thing and does some stuff.
See, I was thinking about that because, and this isn't a spoiler, but the episode, the Gokaiger episode that's about Jetman, the Silver Ranger guy, that guy, he's walking around and he's just going, Jetto. I'm like, how do you know the theme song? How? If it's a real thing that happened in your world, how do you know the theme song?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, you know, this is, you're breaking the fourth wall. How dare you?
It was a hit. Well, kind of like how, what's CD, his name? Right? It was a hit CD.
Oh,
what's his name? Coda was singing.
Kyoruger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
So, how dare they, those fans? So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I think we're going to keep continuing our review of Jetman.
You want to keep doing two at a time? Or?
Yeah. That's fine.
All right. Okay, so we'll be done in like
20,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go up to three if we want to be crazy.
Like, I just don't want to get, like, caught up in, like, crap. Ugh, man. I have to, like, watch 15 episodes. I don't.
No, I mean, every recording session should be, the like, a set number of episodes. You know.
And like, is there, like, some other Sentai that you're, like, itching to review? No, you're not.
What, you're not excited for Lupin Pato?
Girl, bad. All right, good night, everybody.
It's fine, okay?
Okay, well, I assume we had finished already.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.